Bibles. Turn with us to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, the 14th chapter. And while you're turning there, my prayer is for revival. My prayer is for revival. I've got a kind of unusual message this morning. One that God laid on my heart. I know it came from Him because I had no idea about any of this until He just suddenly brought this scripture to my mind. I was asking Him to help me to preach something that would encourage us as we go into revival. And this scripture, He sent it to my mind out of the blue. And I believe it's what God wants me to preach. How many of you want to please Jesus? How many of you want to honor Him? The title of my message is Pleasing and Honoring Jesus. Look with me in Mark chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading with verse 3. We're going to read through verse 9. And the Bible says, And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spiker very precious. And she brake the box, poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, how we thank and praise you again for the privilege and the joy. And God, Lord, the great freedom we have to gather in thy house, to gather around thy word. God, to hold our cups up to thee and ask you, Lord, to fill them to overflowing. God, we pray that you will. Father, we stand on the very brink of revival services beginning tonight. Father, Lord, our hearts, my heart, craves for revival. Heaven sent revival. Pray, God, to use this today. Use this, God, to prepare us for what's to come. Pray, Father, that thy will be done in every heart, in every life. Father, it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. Jesus was on his way to the cross. For 3 years, beloved, he had taught the people the word of God. For 3 years, he had wrought miracle after miracle. I mean, healing their sick. Even raising the dead. For 3 years he had fulfilled prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Yet for all the momentous things, beloved, that he had done, he received only ridicule, only false accusations, disdain, and blasphemies from the religious leaders. Oh, but now, it was almost over. He was on his way, beloved, to do what he had come to do, to offer himself as a sacrifice for man's sin, to die in our place. So he traveled on, beloved, toward Golgotha with his eyes on that old rugged cross. Oh, but there in the city of Bethany, he was asked to go speak, beloved, or to eat at the house of a man named Simon. He had been a leper. Maybe the Lord had healed him. I don't know. But he was called Simon the leper. And he was a Pharisee. Now, Jesus went to eat with this man. Now, while he was there, while he ate, something very, very unusual happened. A woman came in. And beloved, she had an alabaster box of ointment. Very, very costly. Luke tells us, beloved, she stood behind the Lord. And she wept. She cried. Then, beloved, she broke that box. And she began to anoint his head and his feet with that costly ointment. Now, immediately, those present, beloved, began to murmur against her. Why wasn't this used to help the poor? Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor? Oh, but let me tell you, Jesus was pleased with what she had done. Beloved, he said, let her alone. Let her alone. She's wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. And so pleased was Jesus, beloved, with what that woman had done, that she had so honored him, that he said, wherever the gospel is preached, what she's done will be a memorial unto her. Though she had honored the Lord, she had pleased him beyond measure. Tell me something. How many of you want to honor Jesus? How many of us, how many of you, beloved, want to please the blessed Lord? Well, we're going to have that opportunity this week. This week. We're going to have that opportunity. God's given us that opportunity. Beginning tonight, we're going to have a revival meeting. But it's more than that, folks. It's an opportunity for us to honor Christ. It's an opportunity for us, beloved, to glorify our Lord. It's an opportunity for us to please Him beyond measure. Now, somebody says, preacher, I don't understand. What has revival got to do with this woman and what she did? What's revival got to do with pleasing Jesus, with honoring the Lord? Well, let's look at it. And let's see. Let's see why he was pleased with what she did. Let's see, beloved, how he was honored. First, listen. He was pleased because she was doing God's will. She was doing, you know, something that pleases Jesus? When you and I do the will of God, amen? She was doing God's will. Folks, it was God's will that Jesus, now get this, that He go to the cross and die for our sins. That's what, beloved, He had put on that body of flesh for. That's why what He had left heaven and came to this earth for. That's what God the Father, beloved, had given His Son for. He was on His way to do just that, to die for our sin. Now somehow, and the Bible doesn't tell us how, somehow this woman, beloved, a sinner, understood what was happening. She understood it. Maybe she had heard the prophecies concerning Messiah and knew that He must die. Maybe, beloved, she had read or heard Psalm 22 or Isaiah 53 or Daniel chapter 9, which all point to Messiah's coming and death. Maybe she had heard it. Maybe the Holy Ghost just showed her or told her. I don't know. But somehow, she knew, beloved, she knew that it was God's will that Jesus die. That He died. And she knew, beloved, that if He died, that, beloved, His body would need to be anointed. So, as she, beloved, watched Him there in that crowd, as He was eating, knowing what was coming, she was moved with emotion. She wept. She cried. She held, beloved, in her hands an alabaster box of costly ointment, her most valuable possession, probably. Maybe she thought to herself, oh, I don't want Him to die. I don't want Him to die. But it's God's will. It's God's will. I wish that I could die in His place. But I'm a sinner. I wish I could die in His place. But I can't assist Him. I can assist God in performing His will. I can anoint His body for the burying. For the burying. So this woman, whom the Pharisees, beloved, looked down on, she stepped behind Him crying. And she broke that box and she anointed His head and His feet. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know all that? How do you know that this was her intent? Because Jesus said in verse 8, listen to this, she is come to anoint my body to the burial. She knew. She knew. She was doing God's will. Do you see? She was doing God's will. She was assisting the Lord in the performance of God's will, preparing His body for God's will to be done, for Him to die and be buried for the sins of the world. Oh, how that pleased Jesus. How it pleased Him. Because Jesus wanted God's will to be done more than He wanted to live. He wanted God's will to be. Let me ask you, do you believe it's God's will that we have revival? Do you believe that? Come on. Listen. Do you believe, beloved, it's God's will that His people who are called by His name should humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from His wicked way so that He can heal this land? That's what revival is, folks. That's what it is. Do you believe, beloved, it would please God that it's His will to see, beloved, Christians revived, to see them lay aside their lukewarmness, lay aside their sin, and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to see the backslidden brought back, beloved, into fellowship with God, to see God's people once again have a passion for souls, being a witness for Him? Oh, yes, listen to me. It's His will. It's His will for revival to fall upon us this week, beloved. And if it happens, listen, Jesus will be honored. Jesus will be glorified. Jesus will be pleased with us. With us. Do you see? We, you and I, beloved, can have a part in God's will being done, in revival happening in this church. In this church. Let me ask you, how many of you have prayed the Lord's Prayer? Come on, every hand ought to go up. Did you mean it when you prayed it? Did you mean that part, beloved, when it said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you mean it? Well, this week, beloved, you and I can assist God in His will being done on earth. On earth. We can assist Him by praying and fasting for revival. We can assist Him by inviting, beloved, your friends and your neighbors to revival. We can assist Him, beloved, by preparing our own heart for God to revive us, by confessing our sin and turning back to the Lord. We can assist God in His will being done concerning revival by attending yourself every service this week. Four nights. You can assist God's will being done. Listen, God, beloved, God's will cannot be done in you, beloved, or in our church if you're not here for God's Spirit to move upon. Can't happen. It can't happen. Preacher, you don't know the price of gas. Yes, I do. But you know what? There's something more important than the price of gas. It's this nation, beloved, being healed by God. That's more important. But preacher, you just don't know how busy my schedule. There's something more important than your schedule. And that is, beloved, that Jesus be pleased with us. That Jesus be glorified. That Jesus, beloved, be honored. That's more important. That's wonderful. Suppose this woman hadn't gone to Simon's house that night. By the way, she wasn't welcome. They were Pharisees. She was a sinner. She wasn't welcome. Beloved, would God's will have been done if she'd have stayed home and said, "Oh, well, I'm just going to stay home tonight. I'm tired." God's will had been done. The Pharisees, beloved, didn't want her there. The devil didn't want her there. Brother George in Sunday school, you ought to have been here to hear that. He said he was laying in bed this morning. He said, "I heard it just as plain as I hear you." He said, "Boy spoke in my ear and said, 'Don't go to church. You're tired.'" And then he said, "No, I'm going to church." And the voice said, "Well, just don't go to Sunday school." Brother George said he shot out of that bed like a cannon, man. Said he went and put his clothes on, got ready for Sunday school, walked out there, beloved, walked to the driver's side, and there was a great big old black snake. He didn't say black, a big and thick snake right there coiled up at his car door. He said, "There he is. I knew he was whispering in my ear." He didn't want them to come. This week, beloved, you can assist God in His will being done. You can assist God. The devil don't want God's will done. He don't want it, beloved. He don't want Jesus to be honored. But she, beloved, resolved in her heart, I'm going to honor the Master. I'm going to do God's will. I'll not miss this opportunity. Oh, what an opportunity we have, beloved, to do God's will this week. This week. Folks, let's not let the Pharisees or the devil or anything else keep us from doing God's will. Let's not let it happen. So Jesus was pleased and honored because what the woman did was the will of God. But He was also pleased and honored, listen, because it was a display of her love. Of her love. Folks, the Lord, listen to me, desires that you love Him. He wants your love. Now, In fact, the greatest commandment of all, the Bible says, is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Greatest commandment. We're commanded to love Him. Well, this woman, beloved, certainly loved Jesus. We know that from Luke's account. In Luke chapter 7, beloved, Luke tells us that she came up behind the Lord while He was eating. She came up to His feet. Said, "Preacher, how did she do that?" Well, you see, in those days, they didn't sit on chairs to eat. They reclined. They would recline. And their feet would be behind them. She came up behind Jesus, beloved, to His feet. And she was weeping. She was overcome with emotion, Luke tells us. In fact, beloved, her tears were so many that they were falling upon His feet. And she began to wipe His feet. Clean His feet. Wash His feet with her tears. And she took her hair and she dried His feet. And then, get this, she began to kiss His feet. To kiss His feet. Boy, Martha don't love me that much. But she loved Jesus that much. She kissed His feet. Then she broke that box and she anointed not only His head, as Mark tells us and Matthew tells us, but also His feet with that costly ointment. Jesus told Simon, who criticized her, by the way, he told Simon, he said, "You haven't anointed me. You haven't washed my feet. You haven't greeted me with a kiss. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much," Jesus said. She loved much. Folks, Jesus was honored, listen, by her display of love. He was so pleased because she loved Him. She displayed her love for Him and for all to see. But I want you to notice this. Not once, not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, did the woman say, "She loved Him." Not once. No. She showed she loved Him. She showed she loved Him. You know, we're good at saying we love the Lord, aren't we? I guarantee you, I could go down the line right now, everybody here, and the vast majority, in fact, I can't imagine anybody not saying it, would say, "I love you. I love Him with all my heart. I love Jesus. I love Jesus." And how many of us show we love Him? I mean, folks, we got an opportunity to show our love for Jesus this week in these revival services. We got an opportunity. Folks, Jesus desires our love. Listen. He loved us so much, that He went to that cross. I was reading about His crucifixion this week. And folks, it was so horrible. How many of you seen the movie, The Passion? That doesn't tell horrible. He went and suffered all of that because He loved us that much, beloved. And when you love someone enough to suffer and die for them, it's only natural that you, beloved, want them to love you back. To love you back. one of the purposes of revival is to renew our love for the Lord. To renew it. To renew it. You see, beloved, as we live in this wicked world, and we're exposed to all of this mess, as we, beloved, are harassed by its cares and worries of this world, as we are tempted by the world's pleasure, it is so, so easy for our love for Jesus to wax cold. To wax cold. It's easy for us, beloved, to begin to love other things more than we love Christ. And I'm not condemning, I'm telling you the truth. It's easy for us to love other things more than we love Christ. Jesus told the church of Ephesus, which was the early church, He told them in Revelation 2, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus said, you've started loving other things more than you love me. You've left your first love. Folks, I truly believe that's one of the biggest problems with the church today. Bible-believing Christians and churches, beloved, we've left our first love. Left our first love. We've begun to love, beloved, the things of the world more than we love Him. The pleasures of the world more than Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's okay to enjoy family. It's okay to enjoy the beach or the mountains. It's okay to enjoy sports. It's okay to enjoy, beloved, this earthly life. The Lord gives us these things for us to enjoy. But it becomes sin when we put those things before the Lord. Then it's sin. Then it's sin. It becomes sin, beloved, when we love them more than we love Jesus. Oh, how we need revival to get us loving Him most of all. How we need a moving, beloved, of God's Spirit in our hearts to renew our love for Jesus. This week we will have an opportunity for that in these revival services. An opportunity to renew our love. An opportunity to not just, beloved, say we love Him, but, beloved, to show that we love Him. But I warn you, that TV, that recliner, that friend, that family member, that pleasure, whatever it may be, will say to you, love me tonight more than you do Jesus. Love me. Folks, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't miss this opportunity to love the Lord above all. To honor Him with your love. To please Him by showing your love. Let this be a revival where you declare to the world how much you love Jesus. Let this be, beloved, a revival where your love is displayed, renewed, and strengthened, and the Lord will be pleased with you and honored by your love. Third, the Lord was pleased and honored with this woman because she did, get this, what she could. She did what Jesus said in verse 8 of Mark 14. She had done what she could. Folks, there was a lot this woman couldn't do. She couldn't put a royal robe on Jesus. She couldn't put a crown on His head. She couldn't, beloved, put him in a palace of gold. She couldn't do that. And Jesus deserved all of that and more. But she had no purple robe. She had no diadem to crown him with. She had no golden palace. Oh, but she did have, beloved, an alabaster box of ointment. And she had, beloved, the opportunity and she to anoint the Lord. Those things she had. And I can see her holding that ointment as she stepped, beloved, into Simon's house. Her heart beating 90 miles a minute. She, what are they going to say when they see me? Would she be thrown out because they knew she was a sinner? Would they be ridiculing her and shaming her before the crowd? Would they stop her before she could get to Jesus? And her heart thumped in her chest, but she went on. She went on. Finally, she found herself at the feet of Jesus. And her tears almost blinded her as she knelt at His feet. There was so much that she would have loved to have done for Him. But she had nothing but her tears and her hair and some ointment. So she said within herself, I will do what I can. I will do what I can. I'll wash His feet with my tears. I'll dry His feet with my hair. I'll kiss His blessed feet with my lips. I'll anoint Him head and feet. I'll anoint His head and feet with my ointment. And so she did. So she did. And what she did that day was lost on the Pharisees. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. But Jesus took notice of it all. Of it all. And they began to murmur against her. Jesus spoke up and He said, let her alone. She had done a good work. She had done what she could. What did He mean by that? He meant, beloved, that everything that was in her power, she had done, she had given. Everything. Oh, how that in itself honored Him. How it pleased Him. Because she had done all that she could do. Folks, that's all Jesus asked of any of us. To do what we can. To do what we can. Maybe you can't sing in the choir this week. Some of you men can. Maybe you can't sing in the choir. Maybe you can't preach a sermon like Brother Stanley and Brother Norman will do. Maybe you can't even get here on time every night. That's okay. That's okay. But you can take what you have and let nothing keep you from Jesus and honor Him with it. Honor Him with it. Whether it be fasting a meal and praying or getting on your phone and calling someone and inviting them to revival or picking up someone and bringing them to revival. Whether it be coming yourself to every service, even if you are late. Even if you are late. May not seem like much to you. But beloved, if it's all you can do, then it's pleasing to Jesus. And it's honoring to Jesus. Folks, as we enter these revival services tonight, listen to me. Jesus is watching every one of us. Just like he watched that woman. He watched her, what she did. And as we go into these, he is watching each one of us. And each one of us will either please him or displease him. Each one of us, beloved, will either honor him or we will dishonor Jesus, the one who saved us, the one who gave his all that he had for us, the one who will judge us one day, the one, beloved, who knows the thoughts of our heart, beloved, will either see us doing God's will or not doing. He will see us showing our love for him or our lack of love for him. He'll see us, beloved, doing what we could do or not doing what we could do. Oh, I pray. I pray before God that when this is done, that the Lord will speak to each and every one of you and smile at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have done what you could. You have done. It's up to us, to each one of us. It's up to you. I want you to know that he is the Lord. Jesus should be honored. He deserves it. Jesus, beloved, should be pleased by his people, by you and I. He's given us this opportunity to please him and to honor him. Oh, please, don't let it slip by. Don't. Because you may never get this opportunity again. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. I pray today that you come to him. I pray that many of you will come and say, Lord, I will honor you. I will show my love for you. I will do what I can. Pray that all of you will come. Pray, Holy God. Father, have your way now in every heart. God, make me see and understand. The hour is late. We need to lift up our heads for our redemption, God, now. Help us to understand that all that we do, we must do it now. But soon we won't be able to do it anymore. Help us to understand, Lord, that revival, real heaven-sent revival, is the need not only of our church, but God, is the need of this community, it's the need of this state, it's the need of this nation, it's the need of the world. Lord, it will not happen unless we honor you, please. Do thy will. Show our love. And do what we can do. Father, have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you stand for me? We invite you to come. We invite you to come. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Just as you are. Won't you come? You may be seated, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Oh, how I thank God for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Please sit calm. And I wonder if there's one in the congregation here at the sanctuary. They say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not assured of my salvation. And I want to know. I want to know. Would you lift your hand? We'll show you how. Won't embarrass you, I promise. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Joe.